Good morning.
I'm happy to be here today, and I hope you are too. I'm officially a grandpa as of last Thursday. Lisa and I are grandparents. Our oldest daughter, Emily, gave birth to our first granddaughter. She weighed 8 pounds, 2 ounces. Her name's Piper, and that's actually her picture in the bulletin. So, yes, I'm proud. Have you ever been in a situation that was so bad that the way you dealt with it was to turn everything inward and made it all about yourself? That's how some people deal with stress. Other people do it to be validated. Some people do it out of pride, some out of self-conceit, self-pity. Some do it out of loneliness because they haven't been heard. But isn't it amazing how we can be so focused on the negative things in life that they actually take over? And if we're not careful, negativity can become who we are. Sometimes it's hard to stay positive when it seems like everything around us is so bad. Well, we're studying the book of Lamentations. If you'd like to go ahead and be open into Lamentations chapter 3. But the book of Lamentations is Jeremiah seeing the city of Jerusalem destroyed, the temple being destroyed, the city being burned, the people being stripped of clothing, chained together, and marched off into captivity. And he writes the book of Lamentations as he observes this, and he's constantly crying and weeping and weeping and shedding tremendous tears. But we notice chapter 1 dealt with suffering. Chapter 2 last week dealt with God. And we get to chapter 3, and it's about Jeremiah himself. Things have gotten so bad that now he has turned it inward, and he sees his struggle and his pain. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1, let's read down through verse 5. It says, "I'm the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago." There is a pattern in the first 18 verses where Jeremiah says God has caused everything. He has driven. He has made. He has besieged. He has made. All the way down through the first 18 verses, he says God has caused everything to happen. Well, he's greatly concerned about what's going on with himself. So first, Jeremiah's concern involves his pain. In verse 1, he says, "I am the man who has seen affliction." Well, if you read the book of Jeremiah prior to Lamentations, the whole time he prophesies, people are laughing at him and making fun of him, mocking him. They even abuse him and torture him, cast him into a cistern, put him in stocks. A false prophet, Hananiah, breaks the yoke off his neck that he was wearing to show how Jerusalem would suffer when Babylon came and destroyed them. So he's been in constant frustration and constant torment. It says, "I am a man who has seen affliction." That Hebrew term actually means misery or suffering in wretchedness. Imagine a man who is in a mine that has collapsed. It's totally dark. The air is filled with so much dust. The rocks and everything's pressing around. He's trying to claw his way out. More rubble falls on. His hands are starting to bleed from digging. And everything seems totally hopeless. Well, that is chapter 3 of Lamentations. Everything has fallen in around him, and he doesn't see a way out. And he says God is inflicting him and bringing him into darkness. And that is also what we see as a paradox of faith in distress. And often when the pressures get so great upon us, we fall into the same distress to where we feel the same way. Well, what caused Jeremiah so much pain? Well, he notices first that God can be an angry God. He says in verse 1, all of this has happened under the rod of his wrath. This is happening because God is punishing the people. Because God is punishing Jerusalem for her sin. God can be angry and yet not sin. Do you remember the Apostle Paul exhorting us, be angry and sin not? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. He says, you be angry, but you do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. So here we have Jeremiah noticing God can be angry. He also notices God can be a demanding God. He says, he has driven and brought me into darkness. Extraordinary darkness, like the darkness of judgment. Jeremiah is seeing that his relationship with God has caused much bitterness due to the response of others. He says, I have wasted away. God has let my skin and my body deteriorate into such fragility. And not only that, I'm suffering pain because everybody is making fun of me. Look at verse 14. He says, I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the objects of their taunts all day long. Well, how did Jeremiah handle that? Look at verse 15. He says, he has filled me with bitterness. He has saddened me with wormwood. He says, I have become bitter. I have become bitter of all the laughing and mockery and the torture I've been enduring. Well, how do we handle it when people laugh at us in derision? Do we get angry? Do we go silent? Do we lash back out? Do we lose control? How should we respond as children of God? There is a spiritual response. Do you remember Jesus saying that love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. We should be able to respond in a Christian manner. If we don't, then how do people see Jesus living in us? Not only was he concerned about his pain, but it also involved his insight. In verses 19 through 38, Jeremiah remembers many things. Look beginning in verse 19. Jeremiah says, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Jeremiah says, I remember everything that has occurred to me. He says, my soul is bowed down within me. That Hebrew word actually means to bow down and fall into a state of depression. Have you ever felt that way? You've grown spiritually weak because of how hard things are, and the next thing you know, you're deep in depression. Is because we tend to take our focus off of God when we're suffering? Jeremiah says, I remember all of this. But then he remembers something else. Look at verse 21. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. How did Jeremiah respond? You know, we actually sing Jeremiah's response often. Look at verses 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He says, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. We sing Jeremiah's response about him praising God and remembering the love of God. So when we fall into despair, when we fall into suffering, when we fall into ridicule, oh yes, we may remember everything happening to us, but do not let us forget the love of God and his faithfulness. God is faithful. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Jeremiah remembers God. He went from a mood of depression to a mood of emotion. He went from caving in to having courage. He went from suffering and all about itself to praising God. He actually gives us Three reasons are given for waiting on the Lord and submitting to suffering. Look at verses beginning in verse 31, if I'm not mistaken. He says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he calls grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men." Jeremiah tells us three things. The Lord will not cast off forever. He says the suffering's only temporary. It will not go forever. He says afterwards, after you've suffered, you will experience the compassion of God. And he says God does not afflict us just out of sheer delight. He afflicts us to make us into who he wants us to become. Our suffering has reason. It helps form us. God may be preparing us for something in the future. May be preparing us to handle what's going to happen or to help someone else handle what's going to happen. But Jeremiah says God doesn't afflict us from his heart or grieve us. He does it to chastise us and make us better, to make us more faithful, to draw us closer to him. So question, do we have patience to wait on the Lord? Do I have patience to suffer through and endure what is occurring? Do I remember the love of God and find strength and support in that? Am I willing to wait for his compassion? And I'm willing to realize that he is changing me. As we continue, do we have patience to wait upon the Lord? We get to Jeremiah's concern and we come to his confession. In verses 39 through 47, Jeremiah confesses some things. He has vindicated God. He has given tribute to God with great praise about his steadfast love, compassion, his justice. And he steps back and reevaluates the situation. And Jeremiah sees himself and the people of Judah as sinners. In verses 39 through 47, it changes to the plural pronoun of we and us. All up to now, it's been I, my, me, who. All in reference to directly to himself. It's all been in first person. But we get here, and all of a sudden, he's not just talking about himself. He's talking about the whole nation. He says, we are sinners. And he realized the justice of God in punishing them for their sin. So Jeremiah says, we're sinners. And he realizes none of this would have happened if the people had just repented and turned back to God. Sometimes bad things happen in our lives. And sometimes it's because we turned away from God. And it wouldn't have happened if we had stayed looking toward God. Sinful man is in no position to offer complaints. Jeremiah says in verses 39 and 40, he says, why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. He says, what right do you have to complain when you're being punished because of your own sins? You reap what you sow. And there's a threefold thing given here when he says that. When he says that we have no right to complain. You know, we often misapply the question, why has God done this? Well, there are three things we need to realize. It may not be God doing it. That's the mistake Job made, thinking God was afflicting him when it was actually Satan. The second thing is we don't have all the facts with our finite minds. So how can we stand in judgment of God? And the third thing is we reap what we sow. And he says, if you're reaping what you sow, it's your own fault. And you have no right to complain because of your wickedness and sinfulness if you refuse to repent. So Jeremiah makes this confession. And he gave a threefold fact for sinners to consider. First, he says, we need to test our ways, examine our ways. We need to look within and search our hearts and see why we're acting the way we're acting. Second, he said that we need to return to the Lord. If I examine ways, if I test myself and see that I have sinned against God, I need to repent and turn to my Father. And third, he says, we need to lift up our hearts and hands to God. Hands lifted up to God in Scripture is nearly always in reference to prayer. We need to be on our knees praying to God for His mercy and grace to be extended to us out of repentance and seeking His forgiveness. After searching that, he realizes God's reaction to Judah's sin is justified. God had every right to do what He has done. God's justice. He finally did what he said he was going to do, and the people were slain, taken into captivity, and suffering greatly. But as he's going through all of this, we come to his growth. In verses 48 to the end of the chapter, he turns everything back to himself. Everything goes back to I, me, my, and ours. Or I, me, my, yes, and who, excuse me. So he cries out to God, this time because he's facing enemies. Look at verses 48 and 49, what Jeremiah says. Verses 48 and 49, he says, my eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of the daughters of our people. He says, my eyes flow with tears like a river. He says, my eyes do not stop weeping. Could Jeremiah's weeping and agony have been any worse? And this time he's shedding tears over the daughters of his people. He mentions that twice. He's shedding tears over what is occurring to all the defenseless women. What has occurred to them due to be under seizure? What has occurred to them due to their foes? What has occurred to them due to the suffering and having no food? What has occurred to them is they're being molested as Babylonian soldiers come in and rape them and carry them off into captivity. He says, I'm weeping over the daughters of my people. You know, in Romans 12, 15, we're told to rejoice with those who do rejoice and weep with those who weep. When we visualize what is happening here, our hearts should be filled with tears over what was happening to so many souls because they refused to repent. What punishment Jeremiah had to endure, what had caused his incessant weeping, he mentions his enemies. Beginning in verse 50, he says, I will cry until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the daughters. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. So he's now weeping over his enemies, and he's saying, until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees, I will continue to reap. But you know what? He cried out, and God heard, and God responded. He said, I called, you came near, you said, do not fear. And so something changed. And we noticed Jeremiah's conviction. Jeremiah turns everything over to God. There are points in our lives when everything's out of our control. We don't know what's happening. We don't know how to deal with it. And it's time to turn everything over to God. Jeremiah's trust and confidence has been restored. His conviction in the true and living God, the faithful God, the God who loves and the God who cares about what is going on. And God had a plan. God would punish Judah's enemies. He says, you will repay them. You will curse them. You will pursue them. Jeremiah's going from agonizing to conviction that God will do the right thing. Well, where is my conviction? Where is our conviction? Do we trust in the one and only true living God? Is our faith in Him? Do we turn to Him when we're in trouble? Oh yes, we praise Him when we're happy, but do we praise Him when we're sad? Is our conviction on God will do what needs to be done? Where's your conviction? Do you have sin in your life? Then your conviction needs to be, I need to make it right with God today. I need to repent of my sin and pray for forgiveness. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you realize you need to be a child of God to be saved, to spend eternity in heaven above with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You need to repent of your sins, confess you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being fully immersed in water to have your sins washed away, to arise and walk in newness of life, pure and holy in the sight of God, our Lord and Savior. God is calling. Jesus is extending an invitation. If you need to make your life right with God, please don't delay. Please respond in the front as we stand and sing.